Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay. Happy New Year. How are you? How did you spend the New Year? What's going on? It's been a while since we've connected here.
Yeah, honestly, I'm so happy to be back. I always dread getting up early in the morning, but I'm like, oh my God, I finally get to record again.
Here we go.
New Year was good. I went to London for the New Year's, went to Cincinnati for Christmas. So lots of traveling.
I know you've gone to London in the past for love. Was this a lovecation? I don't know how to, love adventure, a like adventure, a steamy. what kind of adventure was this?
Yeah, I mean, I went to go see a
situationship
guy.
Adventure?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. Like,
it's so I went to go see a guy that I had actually met back in April. And this is like, we've seen each other a couple times since then, but very fun. Like, lives super far away, but, you know,
but
having
a
free place to stay in London. Yeah.
Yeah, good excuse to go. It's New Year's. Let's, you know, a kiss under the British moon, so to speak.
I'm still hoping for like a London boyfriend at some point. So,
okay, maybe not
manifesting that.
Is it maybe not this guy, but another guy, or maybe who knows? We won't pry.
Who knows?
Too much.
What about you? What did you do?
I went. I had shows in San Diego. I met a lot of Bachelor fans in San Diego.
Yeah. You went to the Bachelor HQ.
That's right. I was at the center of the beast. Didn't see any Bachelor contestants or characters. I did just do shows in Houston. And do you remember Hunter?
Oh, yeah.
Hunter came to the show with his, I think, fiance. He's a great guy. Yeah. And, we've made fun of him in many different ways here and on my stories. And he's been always like a really fun, cool sport about it. And he came to the shows and he was really cool. It was nice to see him.
I honestly forgot about Hunter. Like, a contestant from Bachelor Nation pass.
Right. Like, if he came down the stairs at Bachelor in Paradise, I think everyone would have like a fun moment with it. Like, they'd smile and be happy he was there. Like, it was like, whoa, Hunter, you know, like, he's a character that, like, you know, when they bring down the people on Bachelor in Paradise and it's like, who? And they were in, like, you could see their fingernail in one shot. You're like, this isn't what we wanted.
No, we want these random people that we kind of connected with that disappeared.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, fuck it. Let me come back and see what's happening.
But I guess those people, you know, go get engaged and move on with life in the way Hunter has.
Imagine.
Yeah. So, and he was really nice in Houston. So I just want to shout out to him and his fiance. But I went to San Diego. I did the shows and they were all great. And then took a early flight to Miami, and I was like, let me just be in Miami, you know, like a couple days. The weather kind of held up. I had heard the weather wasn't great, and I got there for 2 days and had like two really nice days. And
what are your thoughts on Miami? Like, are you like a Miami guy?
In a certain sense I am, and in a certain it's funny when you say Miami guy, I would assume people's assumptions, which is I would assume people think clubbing and oh my right. God, Miami, hungover at a beach. And I think there's another version of Miami that is actually like wonderful and great. It's a very international city. It's mm-hmm. all great restaurants. And if you can do it like I think a high-end version, not to say that you can club in a high-end way, but like there's a relaxed middle ground on Miami that I think is better than most places to be.
I think I need to find that because... Because every time I go to Miami, I'm like, why am I here? I feel awful every day. I don't know why I'm staying out this late.
Yeah.
Like, why are we not going to, like, the club start at, like, 2 a.m.? Like,
I know.
I'm out.
That's the thing. I've heard of that. I've never done that. Like, my brother and his fiance used to live in Miami, so, like, they've done a version of that, I know, every now and again, but, like, you know, I really, honestly, like, I was at a nice hotel. I'm sitting at the bar outside. having a drink while a band is playing as the countdown is like happening. And I'm like,
oh, that's cute.
Right. And I'm like, wait a minute. I would have paid money for this seat. Like I was sitting, like I, you know, like I was like,
yeah.
How is this place kind of empty? And it's like, I guess I like zigged when you usually zag in Miami.
Zag.
Like, you know, like I kind of like leaned into like the, you know, 38-year-old version of what I would want. And they have fireworks on the beach, which is nice. Like if I was to tell someone, you know, how to spend a New Year's, mine was pretty damn good. And, but also chill. Like I, you know, I wasn't looking to, I really was looking to be at a nice hotel bar counting down the new year, you know?
And here you were. And that's really cool. I need to find that version of Miami because I really am like, I don't, that's why I don't like going there is because I feel as though if I'm not waiting in line at 11 at 4 a.m., I haven't done it correct.
I've only heard of that line. I've never been in that line. Yeah, so I...
Literally, the peak hour is like 3 a.m., and that's when the line is like down the street.
Right, I'd like to see it once, but I know the minute I'd see it the next day, I'd be like, never again. You know, like I...
Go home.
Right, so
everybody needs to go home.
I ended up staying until Tuesday night, and then got on a flight back to New York, and it was like kind of, you know, business as usual a little bit. And then, you know, Bachelor Nation keeps on rolling forward. We had the golden wedding. There's a lot of Bachelor related news in kind of like the new year.
Yeah.
Do we want to go through some of these stories that have broken since we've been on hiatus?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest one is Rachel Lindsay and Brian filing for divorce. I think this was like the second day, or maybe it was like it was either like January 1st or 2nd, like straight into the new year, files for divorce. It's all over the media.
And quietly, they've been a bachelor couple that's been rolling along.
Yeah, pretty solid. But you don't really hear much about them or see them together a lot.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Rachel Lindsay took the Bachelorette stardom and went in kind of her own direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm saying this from the perch of like, I don't go like reading into each person and what they do after the show. You get like a vibe, you know, like,
yeah.
And this is kind of something that will hover over all of these stories that we're going to go to is like, what's your vibe to Bachelor Nation in your post-Bachelor life, you know? And
mm-hmm.
Rachel Lindsay, you know, goes and works. Her podcast is, I think, with the Ringer Network.
Yeah, she's on Entertainment Tonight.
Right. So, like, these are, like, if you're talking about, like, legitimacy, you know, like, she's, like, you know, I think that's, like, if you go on The Bachelor, Bachelorette, like, can you evolve out of that world to
right.
be something else to other people. And I think Rachel Lindsay has, right? Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She's developed an entire separate career. I mean, a lot of the people who are doing hosting things or whatever with Bachelor, it's like random red carpet events or, you know, a Caitlin Bristow and Tayshia hosting a season of The Bachelor or Bachelorette. But this, like, she's on TV every day. I mean, mm-hmm. she was the one who was interviewing Chris Harrison when the Rachel right. Kirkconnell stuff happened and when those like remarks were made. Like she's been in the middle of all of like big normal news, not just Bachelor news.
Right. And then this guy Brian, I remember watching her season and then like kind of falling out of the season for some reason. I was mm-hmm. just like, it was a little boring, maybe that was it, but I remember Brian, the chiropractor, like, but then he kind of like disappeared. He didn't do like the
no.
I'm Bachelor Nation waving the Bachelor Nation flag, right?
No, I read a few articles that I saw about this whole like divorce thing when he essentially, you know, quit his business and he was in Florida or something, sold his home and moved out here to pursue stuff. You know, to follow Rachel's career and had to start from scratch out here. But yeah, he doesn't really, he moved out of the Bachelor world. But at the end of her season also, she Peter left.
Then
she sent Eric. She sent Eric home. Peter decided to leave because it became very like ultimatum-y. And so she was just left with Brian, which put like a weird feeling in all of us. We're like, oh,
right.
She's just going to get engaged to this guy because right. he's the last one there. So that's kind of like the weird thing about it, which it worked for 4 years. But
well, you know, I to add on to that and kind of the thinking of like, why is this the season that kind of went out to sea and we don't really think about that much? And why did their relationship mm-hmm. kind of, if you think about it, like the connection between her season and the next one is like Peter becoming the Bachelor. Like when a guy from your season doesn't become the main character, you kind of lose the thread, you know, and you know, because Peter kind of disappeared into obscurity. Like I remember people taking mm-hmm. his fitness classes, like and he was like a big star. People really wanted him to be the next Bachelor.
Loved him. The salt and pepper.
Right. And he disappeared. So then that season kind of disappears. So now we find out that Brian files for divorce. I don't, you know, I'm sure there's a lawyer listening out there. Like, I'm sure who files. Like, when it comes to court stuff, you know, the big thing is that he's asking for spousal support. And anytime a man asks for spousal support, it's like a story, you know, like it's like, look at this loser, you know, so like
literally the ick.
Right. People do not like that. Also, when they don't have kids, you're like, well, what are you going to support? And it's like, this is, you know, when it comes to like law stuff that I don't know anything about, I know there's a reason for everything, you know, like, you know, it's like, why do you try someone for a version of a crime and not the crime that like we all want them to be tried for? It's like, well, you try people for crimes that you can think that you think you can win. And, you know, there's all strategy to all this that we don't know about. But then you see something like Brian files for divorce and is asking for spousal support. We're like, we take out our pitchforks and we're like, get this small dick loser, you know, like.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't think that's fair at all. You know, like I. And based on what you said, if he moved from Florida, the home to
he
me.
He gave up a lot.
So, again, that you're saying that. I believe that. And, you know, to me, Florida's the home of chiropractors. Like, if San Diego's Bachelor HQ, I would think Florida's chiropractor HQ. If he moves to a different state to restart a practice for Rachel's career, which has taken off. He's gotten used to a lifestyle, and it makes some sense.
It does. I mean, yeah, I get it. It just gives us, just gives me the A. But I agree. Right. Like he definitely is used to a certain lifestyle, and also like they said, you know, it's expensive out here, and having to keep up with that, and having to start from scratch. I mean, I can't imagine that it's easy, especially when he left the influencer stuff, did not do any of that ever.
That, yeah.
I don't even know if he has a lot of followers or whatever. I mean,
even that, yeah, I don't know. Brian and Rachel Lindsay, good luck to both of them. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. And then Caitlin Bristow in the news. Now, I think the Caitlin stuff, I don't know. So we had two stories. Caitlin Bristow was seen with Zach Clark, and that's Tayshia's ex. Tayshia was Caitlin's co-host on The Bachelorette when they were the hosts. And they were at a New Year's party where, by the look of it, it's the countdown. You are, Zach is literally carrying Caitlin Bristow. Yeah. If you go look,
he has the arm around the lower back.
Right. You know, if you saw, I mean, who are you with when the countdown happens? The person you're going to kiss. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Caitlin Bristow's being held by Zach. Kay York is being held by by Paddington Bear. I'm being held by my iPhone, and that's who you're with. So to it's not a stretch to see the video.
No.
Of Zach, who I don't know what hat he's wearing. I'm a hat guy. I like wearing hats. I'm always wearing hats.
I know.
In a tux with like a newspaper boy hat, I'm like, I don't know, didn't like the look.
Sometimes we don't need to try new things.
Right.
Let's normalize not trying new things.
Yeah. How about a classic tux? You're in a tux. Go with it. Take off the hat, dude.
Please.
He looked ridiculous. So then
he probably was in like a tux and sneakers.
I hate that look. Not into it. Not into it. I the sneaker suit thing. I've done it. I hate it. Not a look for me. So basically people were saying that she was with Zach. That's who she kissed at midnight, at a minimum.
Right.
You know? So, and then she responded to that.
People were saying that because of this, that meant that there were cheating allegations, that she was cheating on Jason with Zach. People were saying that. That's why it like blew all the way up. And the second story about her saying that Jason was playing the victim is because he liked somebody's post that was like, let's just pretend the new year started today instead. Because all the news came.
That's where you start to like feel for Caitlin. Listen, A plus B does not always equal C. You know, to go from Zach and Caitlin, that's fan fiction you've written. When you say Zach and Caitlin are together on New Year's, ipso facto, Zach cheated with Caitlin behind Jason's back. Crazy person if you're putting that out there as even just as the idea of it. Like it's just like you're an asshole. But
I agree.
And so Caitlin really started running with the ball. Like she really went off at, you know, people. And it's this vague people. And to me, when she gets upset with people, quote unquote, I think she's as someone who like has met her, like her, and I've come to like her even more, and we've talked a lot of shit about her, I would say that she hears the noise from social media, the commenter, the DM, more than, you know, you would say to her, like, just stop looking at the DMs. Just stop looking at the responses.
Like, yeah, tends to do that. She'll post like screenshots of like mean DMs that she gets.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, fine. Like...
And then there was a news story where she's basically saying on her podcast that Jason is playing the victim. And it's like, if you go read the article about Jay, you know, if you go hear her words, to me it sounded like someone who was mad that her DMs seemed to be very pointed and very, like, listen, I've gotten those DMs and I'm sure she's getting them from, like, women who are being very specific and making reads on her life in ways that, like, they're it's like their own problem, but they're like shouting it at Caitlin, and Caitlin's reading it and getting brought down by it, which I can understand. And then she's comparing that to what she's seeing on social media from Jason, and Jason's life, you know, is getting a lot of cheering, is getting a lot of "you go, guy," like, go find your woman, because in the land of morality, Caitlin, who goes out and parties and has a guy, you know, hugging her but doesn't want to get married, is not as morally good as Jason, who's hanging with mom and dad and, you know, I just want to find a good girl and I like talking about finance. You know, like, you go, I get why Caitlin's annoyed, you know? Like, she's getting a harder play than Jason is.
Yeah, a bit, but it's like... Everybody low-key just needs to mind their own business as we talk about this, but you know what I'm saying.
Right. I know, but I it seems like the issue is with her, issue seems to be with, like, I'm getting
backlash when he's not.
Right. I'm getting meaner DMs than he's getting. And she's saying, you only see so much on social media. It's like, yeah, but you're saying that while only seeing so much of Jason's social media. Like, it's all kind of like falling, you know, folds into itself and it's crazy. But that was kind of the news from the offseason.
Yeah.
We also had Paradise. They all broke up.
Everybody.
Everyone on Paradise broke up.
Called it quits.
Game over.
That was... And, you know, I remember the last couple being John Henry and Kat. And they were talking about how they were moving to San Diego or whatever. And then all of a sudden, broken up.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you need couples from Bachelor in Paradise to make it a successful season, so to speak?
I think... I don't know. I think at this point it has such a great track record for creating actual long-lasting couples. Like I feel like there's more couples that have come out of Bachelor in Paradise, successful ones, than the regular seasons.
Sure, but
which makes sense.
Like, but I just don't. I think anyone who thinks in terms of like Bachelor in Paradise 2023. Resulted in three couples, so I believe in love again. Like, that's like a crazy person. Like, Bachelor in Paradise 2023 resulted in Kat and John Henry. That couple made me depressed. Like, being a couple, like, them, her winning made me lose faith in love. You know,
that's
so
my perception of love.
Right. So, like, that's a thoughtful, nuanced take. Kat winning love made me miserable. To me, them breaking up is like, that makes sense. Like,
I feel kind of good about it.
Right. I'm like,
you know what? Good for them making the adult decision.
Right. The season actually is exactly what I thought the season was. You know, like, but you see people's response. I guess I'm in vague people land like Caitlin Bristow, but you see some responses on social media as far as like this show is broken. It's like, no, I don't. I there's changes I would make. I think there's a more entertaining version of this show.
I have a few notes.
Right, right. I would do some things. I don't think I think the show would be helped by a Love is Blind, go home together element. You know, let's see, let's see them be with their phones and the relationship. I don't know. Like, I wasn't surprised by any of the breakups. I don't think no relationships means bad season to me, even though
right,
the season.
I agree.
I mean, I get. Yeah. So, and then Golden Bachelor, the ratings, it's a huge success. That was the last story.
It was a great season. I'm excited to talk about the wedding. Wedding was so fun.
So fun. It was a cool, kind of special event in between. A nice little trip to Bachelor Island in between two Bachelor franchises. I think, you know, why are ratings up? You know, to me... They gotta go. I don't know why. You gotta dig into. There was normalcy to this season.
Yeah,
there were normal people. And I think when you hear these Caitlin Bristow stories of her responding to, backlash, and that doesn't even really exist. You go, where are we? We're down. You know, the Golden Bachelor gave us okay, this is as strange as this sounds. Watching 70-year-olds date on TV was more like my life than watching the normal Bachelor.
It felt better.
Right.
It just felt better. They needed to pivot. They needed to get away from all of that for a bit. And I think it was important for all of us to check in to reality for 2 seconds.
Yeah. I just don't know why they didn't do the next season of the Bachelor. Listen, Joey's fine. I just think, why didn't they have a 40-year-old Bachelor? Let's do
a mid, midlife,
right?
Let's go Bachelor.
Well, just look at the the Gary season, see that it was successful, and like what made it successful. You could say like, well, it was the surprise of older people, it was boomers. I just think it was normal. Like it was just like, and the people on it, I think the more the more lived in experience someone has, the more you trust that they're going to be there to like do the show as a open, honest person. You know, when you're 23 and telling us my last relationship was horrifying, you're like, well, when was that? You were 17? Like, I don't even know what's the relatability there. So I don't know. It's not a surprise that this was a ratings success.
I know. And just ending it with the wedding. I really, honestly, I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to.
Let's go to the recap of the wedding. Yeah. All the Instagram stories that are like people who were there, it did seem like they treated this as if it was their wedding. Like, I don't know. Like, I was seeing like people dancing. Like, we're at the La Quinta, which, what a throwback.
I love that they had it there. There's so many, we have so many memories there at this point that this was the perfect setting.
Right.
For a bachelor wedding.
And it did look, I was talking with some people yesterday, it did look very much like a soap opera. Like it looked like we were on Days of Our Lives a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
The lighting was weird. And then it was very red carpet. Like, so they basically opened La Quinta, which, you know, all I could think about was like Claire hooking up with Dale behind every corner. Like, I just like every inch of that place has been Claire and Dale. And then we go to Jesse Palmer, who tells us that he is like, his wife is like about to give birth.
Yeah, Jesse has the chopper on standby, like on the ready the second he gets that call, because to getting from Palm Springs to wherever he's trying to get in LA is easily going to take you 2 hours at bare minimum. So he needs that chopper like,
well,
now.
I got to say, how do you feel about Jesse Palmer as it stands January 9th, 2024?
I love Jesse Palmer as the host. I think he's gotten better, and I think I like him better now that he knows these cast members.
Right.
Because before, he had no like context with anybody. Like, he's talking to people on Paradise, and I'm like, you don't know this person. What do you get?
Right.
Now I feel like he's truly become the host, and I've kind of forgotten about Chris Harrison a bit. Like, to me, Jesse Palmer's the host.
Right. It's interesting. Because I was watching him talk about his wife giving birth any second, and it felt like a friend. I'm like, oh, yes. Like that might have been the saddest thing I've ever said in my entire life. I've never met the guy, but he's never acknowledged this podcast. Oh no,
never.
He came. Did he come on? He was gonna come on. Then
he was. Ryan Bailey interviewed him, and it was on our feed, but we were. Unavailable.
We were unavailable. As much as I like Jesse, I'm not changing my schedule for the
guy. I had jury duty.
Yeah, yeah. Did you really?
I was legally, I had jury duty.
How'd it go?
I ended up not getting called in, which was fucked.
You wanted to be called in.
No, but I was like annoyed because I had to miss this interview.
This is our problem. I didn't want to go, but I'm annoyed that I was let go. This is, this is what it's like to date a woman. I don't want to be on the jury, but why didn't you pick me for the jury? You know,
why didn't they pick me?
Right.
That's crazy.
So funny. I did watch Jesse talking about the baby being born any minute. I was happy for him. During college football, I watch a lot of. I love football generally, but. Any game I'll put on, especially when I'm on the road. A live game makes me feel a little bit just more connected to reality, and I like having it on in the background. Jesse was on like 30 of the games that were on, and he was always great. He's like a really good football guy, announcer, and then like to see him. And when you're a football not a play-by-play. When you're the analyst on a football show, you have to be ready for variables. Like, you have to be ready for improv. And, like,
yeah.
To see him doing this show, which was live, and he was ready for anything.
Anything.
He backed down, like, because what ends up happening, the way they had it made up, was you had Jesse at the aisle of where the wedding was going to be held. And then mm-hmm. he was pitching out to correspondents, and the correspondents were Charity and Kathy, and then produced pieces. Now, Kathy and Charity as the correspondents, what did you think?
A little unhinged. Like,
a little.
I needed I'm trying to be... I needed more organization because, like, Kathy was talking too much. Charity wasn't saying enough, and the stuff that she was saying felt like she was just trying to get Kathy to shut up. And it just felt disorganized, and
I don't know. Charity?
I didn't love it.
I like Charity. I'm a Charity fan as a person.
Same.
She wasn't experienced enough to be the lead, and she should have been. Kathy mm-hmm. was too much. It was too much Kathy. She needed, as she would say, to zip it. She took over and was too much of a large personality as a person for Charity yeah. to, like, take the reins of the situation, which we needed her to do. They were a bad combo. And I think, I mean, to go back to Caitlin Bristow should have done this. She has experience.
I know.
And Kathy should have been someone we interviewed once and came back to one more time. I know she was fun. I get it. All her friends are going to tell her she was fantastic. Everyone's going to say, every interview they did where it's like, I do kind of want to hear what, you know, Krista and, you know, they interview like Krista and
yeah,
Jason.
Joey and Joey. Everybody. I want to hear what they have to say, but we never got to. Joey said like three words.
Every interview, Kathy would make about herself and her sad single self. And
oh my God, I know.
It was annoying. And again, like, she's doing a joke she thinks works or has worked in the past, but it's like, enough already. Enough. We get it. You're sad and alone. Ha ha. You know, like, I don't think that was her really being sad and alone. I think that was her repeating a joke she knows worked because she doesn't. She shouldn't be on the mic that long.
No.
And she...
No.
She ate up the air in the room in a way. And then, like... I mean, the craziest was when Dotton says that her and... Or Dotton says that he's going to get... Him and Charity are getting married fall 2024, right? Is that what they said?
2025.
Okay, so that's great. Gives them time. They don't have to answer 20 million times on social media. That's nope. probably why they said it. Mm-hmm. And Kathy makes a comment like, another one's off the board for me. And like even Charity was like, he was never there for you. Like,
never
Charity says that to her.
On the board.
Right. And you go, Kathy, what the fuck are you talking about? This that doesn't even make sense.
No, it was very strange. The whole that whole thing, watching Kathy be kind of like all over the place. And then I was very distracted because it was clearly set up and produced, which I see what they're doing. Like where they were interviewing people, they had, you know, all the Bachelor people in back of them walking through. But they had them like taking all these selfies. So they'd have it looked very staged.
Right.
In back of them. So you'd see like Rachel or this or that. Everybody was placed accordingly to take selfies together. You'd see what, it was like Rachel and Michelle and all these people. And I'm like, all right, but again, I want to watch the interviews. Now I'm being distracted by seeing who's taking selfies with who.
Right. There was a part of me that I was like, did they do this because they're not sure if Jesse's actually going to leave? Like, because I would have rather, you know, even Jesse gets with Ellen. Or did Ellen went on a date
yeah.
recently? We see, like, Natasha, and we get Kathy. Like, we get all... Like, I would have rather, like, one at a time in between the produced pieces, why not have Wells do it? Like, I know, like, or like, whatever. I don't know. It just...
I bet you he was the backup. I bet you him or Caitlin right. Bristow were the backup that Jesse was talking about that would take over the hosting.
That makes sense because, yeah, the Kathy stuff was just too much. So the produce pieces were that they first have Jerry and or Gary and Teresa, the families coming together where they have Gary's yes. family over at Teresa's house, a big push for Amazon with their wedding registry. And
I was like, okay.
I mean, nothing is more fun than when you can see the lines that they had to do. Like, there's a part where Teresa goes, oh, we should just get, we got registered on Amazon wedding registry. And he's like, oh, really? And it, like, it's just like, oh. Right, right, right. They, when they have to act, oh, it's beautiful.
When Sandra handed Teresa her box at the bachelorette party, she was like, this is a gift from us. It is from your Amazon wedding registry.
Our overlords at Amazon command us to give you this box. Yeah, so we have the families coming together, and then we have the dress shopping, and Neil Lane. What do you think?
I just have so many questions about the choices that were made on who was going to show up at what event. Like, right. Why was Kathy at Teresa's dress fitting?
I don't know, Susan. It feels
why was
like,
Kathy the one who bullied her throughout the season at Teresa's dress fitting?
Right. I wondered who was friends. Like, I did wonder who was really friends because the bachelorette party, it did feel like I didn't know who Teresa's group was. Like, Susan feels like she was the mother hen to the whole house. It feels like Susan got along with everybody. But it really did feel like Susan and the what did they call themselves? The Askin group. Yeah, that's a group. They've made a nickname. So it feels like a little bit like they just were like, these are the major players this season. Because
let's bring them back.
So they do the wedding dress shopping with the family, and Susan's there. They ask Susan to be to marry them, which I didn't know that's what Susan really does.
Is that what she does? Like, she's a hairdresser.
She's a hairdresser, but I guess she's also a justice of the peace, and she does weddings, apparently.
Of course.
I had no idea. I could see that. She was fantastic. She did a great job. She was I thought she was the best part of the whole wedding. Like, all the speeches, I barely even listened to. I would be annoyed. If I was at a wedding, and they were like, we're doing speeches while we're in the reception, I'd be like, this is fucked. I want to be eating and drinking while making fun of the people giving speeches. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Right. So
actually, like, I have to pay attention.
Yeah, this is brutal. But I thought Susan was great when
she's so likable. Yeah. I just love Susan so much.
She should be the next Golden Bachelorette. I don't know.
Yeah, at this point, that's if they don't pick her, that's crazy. She is the best.
So, what did you think of the bachelorette party?
I thought the bachelorette party was like
the boudoir
cheesy,
photo
shoot. But I loved the photo shoot.
It was
I thought that was so fun. The women looked amazing.
Sandra got
that's a really
so
fun
into
idea.
It. I loved it. Oh. It's a great idea. I actually do think, you know, there's a lot of like people telling us what's empowerment. I think that's like an empowering thing to see
this
like
is
these
an
women
empowering
at
thing, yes.
that age doing it, seeing Ellen go through it and not be comfortable with it, but then enjoying it. Like, I thought that was like a fun element of it. They all looked amazing, you know, like Faith, my God, you know, like, you know.
I was like, with respect, look at those titties.
Right. Titties be tittying. Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Everybody looked so, so good. And
yeah,
that was honestly one of my favorite parts of the whole show.
I loved it. And then we had also Braden proposes to Christina Mendrell. Now, after Paradise, we find out that Braden and Christina Mendrell are a couple. Christina Mendrell, other than Garbage Joe, no, Grocery Joe, No one has gotten more mileage out of 5 seconds on the show than Christina Mendrell.
Facts.
So
she is, I mean, she had a last name from the jump. She wasn't Christina M.
No, not at all. And again, I kind of like that about her. She's been fun on social media. She kind of gets it a little bit. But
they're both hams. They're both
right
equal. Like, they're both like full-blown hams.
It makes sense that Christina Mendrell would reach out to Braid and go, that guy's got spunk. That guy's a little bit off kilter. I'll reach out. And it makes sense based on, you know, Braden on Paradise, the way he operated, that he kind of like is this wide-eyed, you know, like romantic a little bit. So yeah, it kind of all makes sense. What doesn't make sense is to propose at someone else's wedding. And I know now people are saying that he asked Gary and Teresa for permission. Asking is rude. Asking to propose at someone else's wedding is rude. I don't care that you wear, you know, dream catcher earrings. I don't care that you, you know, we're a little weird. No. You're not too weird to be classy. If someone came, this is the thing. People ask questions of me that I can't believe they ask them of me. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you have to put, I remember there was one time, don't put me in a position to have to think and rethink whether I'm being rude when I have to say no. Do you know what I mean? I think there's a rudeness to asking, hey, I had someone, they saw that we had Rebel Wilson on the UUP podcast. Mm-hmm. And then I get this message of like, hey, so I have this company where it's for charity. And it's like, can you ask Rebel? I don't know fucking God. Rebel Wilson. And like, now I have to put mental math into like, hey,
I'm sorry.
I can't save the kids today by asking Rebel Wilson to help you, you know, because now it's in the name of charity. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would be. And this is kind of an example of like, oh, you don't want us getting engaged? It's like, take your shit somewhere else and do it. And again, I'm getting, I don't think many people ask to propose at someone's wedding. I guess I do just think that this was like, it's rude to ask.
I hated it.
I don't.
I hated it.
Not into it. Yeah.
And also, it's not like Gary and Braden and Christina Mendrell and Teresa are friends.
right.
They don't know each other.
Right.
They have no relationship. And you're asking a stranger, if you propose to somebody at my wedding that I paid for, I mean, they didn't pay for it, whatever. But no, well, this is my one day. That is their one day.
The one thing I was like, you're like, oh, well, maybe this is just all for TV and they're not, you know, they're going to have another wedding. It didn't seem like that was the case.
No,
it seemed
this
like
was
this
it.
Is the wedding. Like, this was, it felt, especially from those videos that came out after of people like partying and hanging out, it felt like, they're going to get everything out of this they can. And I, you know, that was kind of my takeaway from Gary. Like, all of the, you know, it seemed like Gary was going to take the soaps from the hotel that ABC booked for him. You know, like he was going to get out of this experience.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not above that. My grandmother used to steal the scales from hotel rooms. Like, she would, you know, be like, where'd you get the scale? You'd be like, oh, the Hyatt. You know, so I...
Why are you stealing scales?
She would take, if it wasn't bolted to the ground, she would take it. So, and Gary kind of gave that energy of like, oh no, we're going to get the full buffet, you know, like,
and then we're going to get the fuck out.
Right. So when Braden proposes at the wedding, you're like, you are taking over someone's wedding. Like, this is their one thing.
Yes.
You know, so.
And they wanted the Neil Lane ring. They're probably hoping if we get married, Bachelor's going to pay for it.
Right.
It's a very certain type of, like, I see what they're doing.
It's moochy.
I get it.
It's moochy.
It's moochy. Yeah, moochy. Yeah.
So then Gary, at the end of it, they give their vows. Gary's crying. And then I thought, you know, so then we go to like the party. And then did you think it was weird that Teresa needed to throw the bouquet? There were like articles that came out before the wedding about how she really wants to throw the bouquet. And you're like, and then she threw it and there's this like scrum. I thought people were going to lose a limb.
I know. Who and even
she's
caught
laughing.
It? Some rando.
Right. And I don't know. To me, there's like a little bit of an element of like, yes, the power I get to, you know, hold over all of you. It was a little annoying. I don't know. The bouquet throw.
And she wanted to do it at the beginning.
Right.
And of course, like Kathy, you see her just flailing about trying. And, oh, she ripped a part of the bouquet out of there. So she got some roses. That's what Jesse said. I was sick.
Yeah, of course Kathy was going to be wrestling for that bouquet. I don't know. It was just a bizarre ending to a bizarre night. That was fun. I enjoyed it. It was very.
I did too.
Yeah, I just like seeing, you know, the cast of characters. And yeah, I don't know. Any other thoughts on the wedding?
No, it was. I thought it was really fun. I'm excited to get started with a new season. Joey's coming up here in what, 2 weeks? And we're going to get going.
Yeah, Joey. Good old Joey. Yeah, he was there. I don't know.
I mean, they didn't let him talk.
No. But
so, but they're promising, not that it would matter.
They're promising the most dramatic season. They're saying it's going to be good. So we'll see.
All right. Well, we'll be back for the premiere of Joey's season. Until then, make sure you are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor. You can follow me at KYORK City. And Jared, what is going on this year?
I got so much going on. If you want to come to a show, I would love to have you. I'm going to be, here's my lineup coming up. I'm going to be in Charleston. I just found out that date. The tickets go out Wednesday. If you're in Madison, Wisconsin, I'm there this weekend. Buffalo, New York, I added a second show. Boston added a second show. Both the early shows are sold out. Toronto added a second show. Chicago, second show. Minneapolis, Royal Oak. Boise. Ever been to Boise?
No.
Olympia,
never
Washington.
Been to Boise. Right.
Vancouver, Denver, San Francisco. L.A. I'm coming to L.A. Kay, I'll be there.
Let's go.
Nashville.
Finally.
JaredFreed.com for tickets. But yeah, that's it. I'm at JaredFreed. Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Amy Klackner. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. And be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.